Well, good morning all. So this is an October exhortation, given slightly early, and hence the reading from Ezekiel, and the other possible reading is John chapter 11 and the raising of Lazarus. So the topic as a whole is resurrection. And it's an exhortation that I gave after a previous one around the basic principles of our faith and reiterating that they are the basis of everything. If we think about Ezekiel 44, if we were reading that in sequence, we would, of course, have read only a few chapters previous, the regathering of Israel symbolised by the resurrection of the dry bones in Ezekiel 38. And we can think also of the foreshadowing of the resurrection of the faithful from all the ages. So in Ezekiel 44 and verse 1, this is where my thought process began. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord to me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it. Because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince, he shall sit in it to eat the bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. So this gate was closed because it was reserved for the prince. Ezekiel 43 details for us how the glory of God entered through the gate. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was, according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. This then is an amazing picture, and the brilliance of the glory is something we will only see once we are granted immortality. At the moment, we, as those who fear Yahweh, are awaiting the day of the rising of the Sun of Righteousness in the east, as this will be the beginning of the end times. It is this rising of the sun that will bring with it the raising to life. In many ways, the entire concept of resurrection is in some ways too hard for us to contemplate fully, as it is something unseen to each of us. We need to remember, though, how important it is to each of us. Paul exhorts at great length on the importance of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, particularly making the point that it is the basis of our hope. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ is not raised, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. The concept of resurrection isn't something that was peculiar to Jesus, though. Not including Jesus, I think there are 8 others in Scripture who are raised from the dead. The only peculiarity of the resurrection of our Lord and Master is the lack of human involvement. So to cement the concept of resurrection in our minds, let's look through these records of resurrection in Scripture, starting in 1 Kings chapter 17. So during the famine brought upon the land as punishment by God on Ahab, Elijah is sent to stay with a widow and her son in Zarephath. During the time of Elijah's stay, the son falls sick and dies, and Elijah takes the son away and prays. And he cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from his chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. We can perhaps glean from this last verse that despite the miraculous provision of food for them by Elijah, that the woman still had doubts regarding Elijah's validity as a prophet, and thus the raising of the dead was to show this once and for all. This remains key, as the power of God is the only means by which resurrection can occur. These verses put me in mind of the plagues of Egypt, how the first few could be recreated by the magicians of the times. But as the plagues progressed, they become clearly only the power of God, as man was unable to perform them. Now you will recall, I'm sure, the handover from Elijah to Elisha and the request that Elisha be given a double portion of the power of God. Not surprisingly then, we have two acts of resurrection recorded in association with Elisha. The first of these is in 2 Kings chapter 4 and is very similar to the miracle of Elijah, as it's just after Elisha multiplies the supply of oil for a widow. Elijah moves on to Shunem and stays with a couple whom he tells that they will have a baby. When the child is grown, he went to see his father working, but he complains of a headache, is carried home, and dies. The woman knows that Elisha has the power to raise the child, and so she goes to him. Verse 32 of 2 Kings 4. And when Elisha had come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them both and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she had come in to him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Here we see the faith of the woman is rewarded and her son returns to her. It is interesting to note that it is not easy for either Elijah or Elisha, and both required steadfast prayer and action from the both of them. Elisha's second resurrection was rather different, however, as he was dead by this stage. It's recorded for us in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. This shows how unlimited the power of God is, that simply the bones of Elisha were powerful enough to revive a dead man. We have to remember not to limit the power of God, because with him, everything is possible. The remaining recordings of resurrection are in the New Testament. We start in Luke chapter 7, where Jesus is headed to a city called Nain and encounters a funeral procession of the only son of a widow. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bore him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet hath risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. We see here how the miracle is immediately attributed to the power of God. Later on in the chapter, we see that it is also used as proof that Jesus was the Messiah when the disciples of John come to ask. Verse 22 of Luke 7. Then Jesus answering said to them, Go and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Some of these things have been seen before in Old Testament times, but not all of them together by the same person. The next person to be raised is Jairus' daughter in Matthew chapter 9. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they derided him. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame of this went abroad into all that land. It was certainly a really good way of getting a message out. For Jesus, though, the act of raising someone from the dead seems far easier than it was for Elisha and Elijah. There was no pacing around the house like Elisha had. He simply walks into the room and touches the girl. The last recorded resurrection performed by Jesus was in John chapter 11 and is the most amazing of all. When Jesus reaches Bethany, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days and was bound in grave clothes and placed in the tomb. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith to them, Loose him, and let him go. There was no contact this time, purely a spoken command. The people witnessing the event would be left with no doubt this was God's work. The final two resurrection events are recorded for us in the Acts. First by Peter in Acts chapter 9. This event takes place just prior to Peter's revelation regarding preaching to the Gentiles and their inclusion in the gospel message. Peter goes to Lydda in response to being sent for by the disciples there after the death of a beloved disciple. So Acts 9 verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. These resurrections aren't just because he could. They served a purpose of spreading the gospel message and encouraging those who had already believed. It would help in later times too, in instances similar to those that were occurring in Corinth, which Paul had to address in chapter 15 that we read earlier. The last resurrection we read about is with Paul in Acts 20 on his third missionary journey. His final night in Troas, Paul preaches late into the night, and Eutychus is sitting in the window. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, having fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he had come up again and had broken bread and eaten and discoursed a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. These 8 resurrections, then, should serve as a constant reminder that we do not have a false hope and that Christ himself was raised from the dead on the third day. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also ye have received and in which ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached to you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and then he was seen by about 500 brethren at once." We come now to remember the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Master, to encourage ourselves and to lift up our eyes and see the glories that are to come after that resurrection morning. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away."